Amen. Are you ready for the word? I just wanted to hear that. Yeah, one more time. We've been talking about walking with God, and we've started discussing and teaching about walking in the will of God. And let me just preface this before I get into it. Honestly, and God keeps putting this in my prayer time. This is one, probably outside of salvation, the most important message or messages that you can hear as a believer, especially in this day and time. And it is this: it is walking in the will of God. There are many people who get born again and get saved, and they just kind of think that after that, okay, I'm going to go to heaven. Now it's up to me to live my life the way I want to live it, however I want to live it, do what I want to do type of thing. And there's even some teaching out there concerning the grace message that says, again, that you can kind of live just about any way you want to live. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were purchased. You were bought by God. And you now belong to Him. When we say Jesus is Lord, that means that we are totally submitted to Him, and we are submitted to His Word. We are submitted to His will. So, why is the will of God, seeking God's will and doing God's will, so crucial and so vital for our present and future existence and fulfilling our destiny? Because when everything is said and done, the will of God is the bottom line for your life. Listen to the definition of the bottom line. It means this: the most essential thing. The most essential thing. We've heard a lot about things being essential. But the most essential thing in your life, the most predominant factor of your life, is the will of God. It means this: primary and the most important consideration. You make a lot of decisions and you have a lot of choices during the day. Well, when you do that, the most important consideration is for me to make a decision and a choice based upon the will of God. Now, here's something that all of us need to listen to and to understand. When I got this revelation, When I was a young Christian and I was taught this and I heard this statement, man, did it put the fear of God on the inside of me. And when I say the fear of God, I do not mean tormenting. I mean to honor and reverence God, to submit completely 100% to Him. And when I did this and I heard this, I made it my prayer: God, I want Your will to be done for my life. Every single morning when I get up, it's this. First and foremost, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what has already been written for me today, according to Your will, let it be fulfilled. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, and direct me in the perfect will of God today. And here's the reason why. Did you know that the will of God for your life every single day was written before you were born, but it was written for when you were born? It was written for when you would come into this earth. Listen to this. Psalms 139, verse 15. No, I'm not reading it. I'm going to try it one more time. Psalms 139, verse 15. Because here's the thing. I've been watching March Madness, and I ain't going to let no people outshout us when it comes to the things of God. Can you say amen? Amen. So listen to this statement. This is one of the most incredible scriptures that changed my whole life. My frame was not hidden from you when I was formed in secret and intricately and I'm reading out of the Amplified, and curiously wrought as if embroidered with various colors. That's an amazing statement, because that's written right out of what the Hebrew means. And that means this: God created color. Us white folks are the only ones that don't have color. That's the reason that we lay out in the summertime trying to get color. Amen? We're kind of bland. But listen to this. So God created all colors, and He never created one color to have supremacy over another. Never. Never. That's a lie of the devil. Everybody say, that's a lie of the devil. It is a lie of the devil, and it is only at a time when somebody is educated in deception that they believe that. And then God, we renew our minds to the Word of God, and we see that everyone is my brother and my sister that calls upon the name of the Lord. Everybody. Amen. And I am to love my brothers and my sisters because I'm getting ahead of myself. This is what Pastor Cameron's had an effect upon me. Listen to this. As if embroidered with various colors, now listen to this, in the depths of the earth, a region of the darkness and the mystery. So you and I were created out of what the Bible says, the dust of the ground. Isn't it amazing that so many of the chemicals that are in our body are also in the earth, in the ground. It's in the ground. Scientifically proved. It's in the ground. Listen to what it says in Genesis, the second chapter. You can read Genesis 1, verses 26 and through 27, and I am going to read it. Here we go. I was going to jump ahead, but I'm not. In verse 26, it says, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness. Man, if you're trying to get it, try to copy somebody's image, quit trying to do that, because you're going to lose who you are. You're going to get lost. Your identity is wrapped up in who God made you to be. Okay, it's not wrapped up in animals or anything else. It's wrapped up in who God made you to be. All right, so it says this, in our likeness, and let them have authority. Everybody say authority. Authority. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have authority. Now turn to them and say, use it. That doesn't mean, now when I say that, that does not mean that you use authority over one another. That's wrong. You use it over the devil, circumstances, and over fish. That's good news to those of you who fish. Give them authority over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, to tame the beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps on the earth, which means you have authority over creeps. So, then verse 27, it says this. Verse 27, so God created man. In His own image, in the image and likeness of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. This is what the Word of God says. Biologically, two. Male, female. Anything outside of that comes from thoughts and thinking inside of one's mind. And it is called deception. Because anything that is outside of the will of God is deception. It means that I start thinking about something. The moment I start thinking about something and I think about it long enough, and remember the devil can put thoughts in your mind. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, called the fiery darts of the wicked one. But he can put thoughts in your mind. He can put thoughts in your mind and say, well, no, this is the way you are. This is the way you are. And then, listen to me very carefully, because demonic spirits have not disappeared just because we have incredible technology. So demonic spirits, called spirits of lust, can move upon your body and start making you feel in a certain way and start giving you certain impulses and stuff. That is called deception. This is what the Bible says. Pastor Al is not saying that. It's the Bible says that. So he created them male and female. He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and subdue. Have dominion. So we subdue and we have dominion. Now listen to Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7. And what he just said, that you were embroidered with various colors in the earth. He said, then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or the spirit of life. Which means this, God is the Father of all spirits. And when we are born with a spirit man on the inside of us. This body is just our earth suit, like an astronaut is inside an astronaut suit. In this body. But the real you is here, the spirit of life, your spirit. And all spirits come from God. And Jesus came to deliver us and set us free from the bondage of sin and the power of Satan. So man became a living being. So let's go on now with Psalms 139. I want you to see what he just said, and I want you to see how that started in Genesis. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Now here's the key. And in your book, all the days of my life were written before they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. I want us to just take a moment, think about this. Right here, in your book. I don't have this in my notes, but if you wanted to go to Revelations, the 20th chapter, you will find that when everybody is standing before God, when everybody is going to give an account of their life before God, the Bible says, and the books were opened. Your book will be opened. But now here's the key. The key says, and those whose names were not found in the Lamb's book of life, then we're cast into the lake of fire along with the devil. That's the Bible, okay? And so the Bible says that the books are open. The books will be open for us as Christians when we, 2 Corinthians 7th chapter, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not for us to go to hell, but to be rewarded for what I have done in my life. And to be rewarded, listen to me very carefully, to be rewarded doesn't mean that I have to be on a platform and I have to be in the fivefold ministry. To be rewarded means that I live my life for the will of God in my vocation, in my neighborhood, in the marketplace, and whatever I did, I live my life for the will of God. Through all the persecution, through all the trouble, the tribulation, and all this stuff, I live my life for the will of God. That's what the Lord looks like. See, the Bible says this, everything that you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen? So, it says, again, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book, all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet they were none of them. Even the nations today. You ever thought about this? Why is China where China is? Why is Africa where Africa is? Why is Europe where Europe is? Why is the United States where the United States is? Why is Fayetteville where Fayetteville is? Think about this. Why are you actually in Fayetteville? Some of you trying to get out. Better be careful. You might get out of the will of God. But why am I where I am? Well, it has a lot to do with the will of God. Listen to this. Every nation, listen in Acts, the 17th chapter, verse 24. The God who produced and formed the world and all things in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in handmade shrines. Let me ask you one question. Where does he dwell now? Right here. Inside of us. We are now, the moment you said Jesus be Lord, you are now the temple of the living God. This is where God lives himself. Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Neither is he served by human hands as though he lacked anything. If we know we're serving God, but we're actually serving humanity as representatives of God, to show humanity the love of God. He said, for it is he himself who gives life and breath and all things to all people. Listen to verse 26. And he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, every single human being, regardless of the color, bleeds red. Every blood type that is in the world is the same in every, even though we have different blood types, but all the blood types are the same for every single human being. He said, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth. Now listen to this statement. Having definitely determined their allotted periods of time, you could have been born at any point in any time in your biological family. God chose that you would be alive right now. That you would be born in the generation that you were born in. God determined that. And he determined that you would be, look at the person next to you. You would be born in the last day before Jesus returns, because these are going to be the toughest days, the hardest days, and he put you here because you're the toughest. And you're the most determined. Amen? He said, I need some warriors in the last days. Turn to somebody next to you and say, he's talking about you right now. He's talking about you right now. Now watch this. I want you to look at this. Having definitely determined their pre-allotted periods of times, and watch this, and the fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlements, lands, and abodes. So right now, being in Fayetteville is God's fixed abode for you. And of course, we know in military deployments, all kinds of things take place. We understand that, but that's part of the vocation. And you move by vocation. But a lot of times what we do is we run on tough times and we think that we moved to another location, that everything will be great. It'll be wonderful. I just get out of here and get to another place. Everything's going to be brand new. It's going to be wonderful. The only problem that you have is you're not running away from yourself. You can run away from a city. You can run away from a town. You can run away from a place, but you can't run away from yourself. Amen? And if you happen to be the problem, you need to get the problem fixed. That's the key. Don't run away from it. Face it. Face the giants. Glory to God. And get that out of your life. Lord, don't let me start preaching there. So, in verse 27, it said, and why has God put everybody in the different boundaries and everything? So that they should seek God in hope that they might feel, that they might feel after him and find him, although he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, even as some of your own prophets have said. Okay? So, understand, God pre-appoints people to be in a certain place. God actually appoints people to be in certain local churches. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it says God himself has placed the members in the body as it pleases him. That's his will. That's the reason that you pray, God, if this is the place that you want me. And sometimes people, this is crazy. This is how we live by our feelings. Some people get offended and they just take off and leave. And when they leave out of offense, or somebody did something, or they leave by being offended, the place that God put them, they just walk right out of the will of God. Now, God, thank God for his grace and his mercy. And God will forgive us, but sometimes what I have found out is sometimes when things start going haywire, you know, God's trying to get our attention that we may be out of His will. It doesn't mean that God does not place us in certain places, because here's the one thing God always wants. God always wants us to grow. And I know that He moved me several times because where I was not getting fed. I was staying there out of tradition. Well, you know, my mom and dad's there, and my dad bought a pew there, and this and that, and I don't want to hurt the family's feeling. And so what was I doing? I was sitting there dying on the vine. And then one day in my prayer, or religion, I was in religion, and one day in prayer, after I got born again, full of the Holy Ghost, the Lord said, I'm moving you. I'm moving you to a place where you can grow. I'm moving you to a place where I want you to serve. And so I came out of that place, and when I came out of that place, I caught a lot of flack from family. Caught a lot of flack. And I just had to put that aside. I forgave, and I kept right on moving, kept right on growing. And here I am 50 years later, still hungry and thirstier for God than ever before. Amen? So if it was 50 years later, it means I got born again at one, because I'm not that old. So let's go back to Psalms 139. Look at this. Verse 17. How precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. Notice that he said God's thoughts are precious, and they are weighty when it comes to you. My thoughts for my children are precious, and they are weighty. And it says, are your thoughts of me, O God? How vast is the sum of them? You know, listen. Pastor Cam and I the other day were walking on the beach. And we just went and just got away, and we were walking on the beach. And Pastor Cam just stopped. And he said, Dad, he said, look at all the sand here. I said, yeah, it's impossible to count it. And he said, the Bible says that God's thoughts of us are greater and more numerous than all the sand. And we're just on a little part of the beach. Man, next time you go to the beach, even if you go to a riverbank and look at all the sand, pick up a handful of sand and look at all the sand and look at it all across the world. How many beaches across the world? And that, if you could count it, is how God thinks and all of his thoughts about you. And I'm going to show you what those thoughts are. He said, if I could count them, they would be more than the number of the sand. So what are his thoughts concerning you? Does the Bible tell us what his thoughts are concerning us? Yes, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Says who? The Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare. That word welfare in the Hebrew means peace and security and peace, and not for evil, not for evil. Please listen to me, not for evil. The evil does not come from God. The Bible says, John 10:10, the thief, Jesus said this out of his mouth, and he said, I don't say anything unless my Father tells me to say it. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everything that has to do with life and abundance of life, that comes from God. Everything that has to do with stealing, killing, and destroying, you know where that's coming from. And you have authority. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear you and heed you. Notice that this has to do with the will of God. Then you will seek me and inquire for and require of me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You just can't come flippantly before God. You got to come with all your heart. All your heart. All of it. So, what do we see in the Bible? The Bible tells us that we are to walk even as Jesus walked. In other words, we are to imitate Jesus Christ. He came and showed us what it's like to be a son of God and to live the way that God wants us to live. Yes, we make mistakes, things that happen in our life. But the more we mature, the less that happens. The more we mature in the Word. So Jesus was our example. Even Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 1, talks about being imitators of God as dear children. So Jesus is showing us how to walk in accordance to God's will so that there would be a harmonious flow between heaven and earth, and all he did would be successful. It did not mean that he didn't have hindrances. It does not mean that he didn't have tribulation. It doesn't mean that he didn't have circumstances. It didn't mean that he didn't have problems. It didn't mean that he was not attacked and persecuted and slandered and said all kinds of things. It didn't mean that. But no matter what came his way, he kept his compass on true north. He kept walking in the harmonious flow of God. The Bible even says in Amos 3:3, he said, "Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction?" And I know that being married. No. No, you can't. You can't. Two people have to come together and agree on the direction that you're going to go in. That's the reason the love of God and sitting down and communication and talking with one another is so important for our lives. It's for two born-again believers to walk in the will of God is the most important thing in our lives. It was important for me to walk in the will of God. And then when I got married, it was important for me and my wife to walk in the will of God and walk harmoniously so that what was in heaven and what has been promised will come and we will be blessed in this earth. So the will of God for Jesus, and which is the will of God for us, which is the Word of God, was his spiritual, literally, substance of life. Listen to what he said, John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food, first and foremost. In other words, what he's doing, he's putting the spiritual obedience and the spiritual will of God above his physical hunger. He says, my food, that which I hunger for, that which I desire more than the food that feeds my natural body, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, and not only to do the will, but to finish. Finish. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to finish. Now turn to him and say, we're going to finish together. Yes, we're going to finish his work. Listen to what he said in John the 5th chapter, verse 30. I myself can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but I seek the will of the Father who sent me. That's an incredible statement coming from Jesus, who is 100% God in the flesh. But he was 100% human being. He had to come here and experience everything that we experience. He didn't experience that in heaven, but on earth, he had to experience everything that we are experiencing. Now listen to what he just said. Please listen to this. This is the reason that prayer, as far as I'm concerned, prayer is the most important business of the kingdom. I pray for the lost. I was praying early this morning, praying for the lost. Our prayer ministers praying for the lost. Get up. God tells me, give the altar call right now. I did. Hands went up all over this place. Because those of you that raise your hands, you're here because, and somebody may have invited you, but you're here because the Spirit of God drew you because he loves you. He loves you. So he said this. He said, I do not seek my own will, which we understand Jesus had a will. He had a choice. He could have lived the way he wanted to. He could have lived by his own will. And we know that in one particular instance, he had a problem with the will of God. Yet at the same time, he may have gone through some of the same identical things that we go through when God is will for him to do something or go somewhere. That he had to make himself do that. In other words, the will of God is not automatic. God does not force us. And Jesus himself had to seek the will of God. If Jesus had to seek God's will, how much more for us seeking God's will? Isn't that what he taught them to pray? And when they said, come teach us to pray, he said, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in other words, he said, what I'm doing on earth, where I'm going, what I'm saying, I want it to come from heaven. That's the reason the Bible says in Colossians, it says, seek those things which are above, not on this earth. Because when you start seeking the things which are above, you're going to start seeking God, and you're going to seek the wisdom of God. And when you start seeking God, you will have the wisdom of God. That's the reason the Bible says in James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. God will give it to you liberally. He'll overflow with you. So Jesus said, I've not come to seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Father, I say it again. Father, this day as I get up and my feet touch this floor, I pray right now, your will be done. You've already written this day for me. I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, and direct me in the will of God today. And then you know what I do? I go my way. And then I just allow the Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, and direct me. Listen to John the 6th chapter, verse 38 and 39. For I have come down, Jesus again, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Listen to me. He said, I came down from heaven. All right? But let me put it in our vernacular right here. For I have been born again to do the will of God who has now sent us, because he gave us the great commission. Go, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all of those that he has given me, but that I should raise them up on the last day. What about Israel? What about Israel? And you know they missed the will of God so many times, but here's one thing you got to understand. You got to understand they were under the law and they were not born again. They didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit like we did. But they had the will and they had the moral understanding of what God had given them as far as his written law. But because they still had a sin nature, man, it defeated them over and over again. That's the reason that you and I, that sin nature has been totally defeated in our lives. The power of sin. And now we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Listen to what he told Israel. So he in Deuteronomy 8 chapter verse 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did cause. Now listen, when it says he allowed you to hunger, you've got to remember what I just said. They're not born again. God had to deal with them by the flesh. So in dealing with them by the flesh, which is different than he dealing with us by the Spirit. Matter of fact, if you want to know how God corrects us, and you want to know how God disciplines us and rebukes us, it's over in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. In beginning with verse 16, where it talks about the Word of God is for instruction and reproof and rebuke and correction in righteousness. The Word of God. It's the Word. He instructs us. He corrects us. He will rebuke us at times through the teaching and the preaching or the reading of His Word. That's the reason it's so important to read His Word. As I read the Word, sometimes I'll come under great conviction because of things that are in my life that I know that's not lining up with God's will. And that's when I repent and get right back into God's will. Okay, so he now the Holy Spirit brings conviction, but he leads us into truth. And so when I hear the Word of God and I know that something is being said that now convicts me of something that I'm doing, right where I'm sitting. I have done this when I was in my young Christian life. A pastor would bring on something he was teaching, and I would be sitting there knowing that I had missed it in this particular area, and I kind of had just kind of justified it, you know, it'll be okay. And then I got into service, and this is the reason you'd never want to get out of church. I got into service, and he started preaching in the exact area where I was. I thought somebody had told him. And when that came, I sat right in my seat. I didn't have to come to the altar. I sat right in my seat, and I bowed my head and said, Father God, forgive me. I repent of the way I've been acting in my attitude. I repent of it in Jesus' name, because that is not love. I repent of it. Forgive me, Lord. And right there, he forgave me. Amen. He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. In the South, this is a tough scripture. You could put it like this, that you shall know that man shall not live by biscuits alone. Wonder why they do all those commercials to us in the South with all the biscuits and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. He says, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm going to say that one more time because some of you are still stuck on biscuits. I can look at you and tell. You're sitting there thinking, how much longer is he going to preach Cracker Barrel? Oh, gosh. Listen. Man shall not live by bread alone, by Cracker Barrel alone, but man lives by every word. Everybody say every word. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Look at what God told Joshua that would happen to him and his home, his family, his endeavors, and his leadership if he would put God's will, his word, as supreme authority in his life. Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Obedience is not something that I just decide to do when I want to do it. Obedience is to God in everything I do concerning His will. He said, only then, everybody say only then. Only then. In other words, there's a condition to this. Only then will you prosper. How many of you want to prosper? Amen. And succeed. How many of you want to succeed? Amen. He said, only then will you prosper and succeed. And watch this, in all you do. Because all you're going to do, if you read the Word of God and obey it, all you do is going to be lining up with the will of God. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for it's the Lord your God who goes with you wherever you go. So, again, the will of God is not forced upon you in any way, shape, or form. And the will of God, even for Jesus, was not automatic. He had to make his own choices just like Adam did, okay? When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember? He struggled with God's will. There are going to be times that you're going to have your own Garden of Gethsemane. In other words, the Bible says to die daily. Paul said, I die daily. The Bible says, take up your own cross and follow me. Jesus said that. Now, when he said that, take up your cross and follow me, what did he mean? Because you can't take Jesus' cross at Golgotha. Only Jesus could do that. So what does he mean, take up your own cross and follow me? The cross was God's will for his life. It was God's will. It was God's will that he go to the cross. The cross was God's will. So in other words, this is what Jesus is saying to us. Take up God's will, your own cross. Take up God's will for your life. And follow me. Take up God's will and follow me, because you can't follow Jesus if you're going down your own path. You've got to be in agreement with him. You've got to be in agreement with him. Even though it doesn't feel, well, this doesn't feel right, and it hurts, and there's pain, and I don't want to do this. Isn't it amazing that everybody gets excited about Jesus, especially coming toward Easter, that Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me, but we don't want to die for him. Take up your cross daily and follow him. That means you're going to be making some tough decisions, but you're not going to make any tough decisions like he did. But he's there to help you to do that. And here's the scripture, Matthew 26, 38 and 39. Then Jesus said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Not as I will, as you will. And then the Bible says angels came and ministered to him. But here's one thing you need to understand. In this day and time, this dispensation of where we live in the new covenant, we have the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We have the powers. Because a lot of people say this, how in the world can I do the will of God? How is it possible for me to do the will of God? Listen to Philippians, the second chapter, verses 12 and 13. Listen to this statement. Apostle Paul's writing by the Spirit of God. And he says this, "Therefore, my beloved," and he's talking to us, "as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only." Let me read it like this. "Therefore, covenant love, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now watch this, because this is the reason we can do the will of God. "For it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure." Did you hear that? Who lives on the inside of you? The Spirit of the living God. Can you do the will of God? Yes, but at the same time, you're going to wrestle with it. At the same time, you're going to have to fight against your own flesh. You're going to have to fight against your own mind at times until you get your mind renewed. When you get your mind renewed to where it comes into agreement with your spirit man, which comes into agreement with the Word of God, which is the truth of God. There are going to be times when you have to let friends go. There are going to be times that you're going to have to make tough decisions to follow Jesus. There are going to be times when you're going through some very tough things that you're going to have to make the decision to follow Jesus, and you're going to make the decision to stand on the Word of God no matter what it costs you. But whatever it costs you, God will restore. He will redeem. He will put back in place, and not just what you had, he will multiply and increase it. Everything. When you do the will of God, the favor of God on your life is incredible. To do the will of God, you will wrestle with your own flesh. That's the reason in Galatians it talks about how the flesh wrestles against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. This is the first time that we ever see in Jesus' life that he is dealing with self-preservation. What are you wanting to preserve in your own life that God says release it? That is not my will. That is not my will for your life. The more we walk out of the will of God, the more we walk into Satan's territory. When we're walking in the will of God and doing the things and that will that we do is motivated out of how much he loves us, Everything that I do, even when I was growing up and when I was in church and I was serving and nobody had to tell me where to serve, I looked and found where the opportunities were, where there was something was not, and I started serving. I started serving just about in every area of ministry because God loved me so much. God delivered me. God set me free. He turned me from being just a horrible a sinner and gave me a brand new life. And all I wanted to do was dive in His Word. And that was not because I didn't even know that time I was going to be a pastor. It was not because that God was going to call me or had called me to be a pastor. It's because I love Jesus. I love God with all my heart. And I just simply went to some of the pastors on staff and said, where can I serve? What can I do? I want to do something for God. But it's not just doing something for God. I started living my life for Him in a workplace that was dark. And found out that I was the light there. And then after a period of time, people started getting saved. I didn't preach to anybody. I loved them. I loved them. And I got some ugly things said to me, but I kept right on loving. And the guy that said the ugliest things to me is the guy that got saved the quickest. It was amazing. So I didn't go home and complain to God. Oh, God, get me out of this place. I hate this place. They're mean. Mean people. I didn't do that. I got home and say, Father, right now I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost for every person at my work. And I'm praying to every one of them will get born again. Shalabakurabata. I just started praying. Holy Spirit, open their eyes. Give me opportunity to share the Word of God with them. You know why? Because all of a sudden now the love of Jesus is on the inside of my heart for every single person that is in there that is not born again. For the cusser. I mean, everybody's like, I can't stand and listen to these words. Are you kidding me? Every other word out of my mouth was a four-letter word that was a cuss word. I mean, all the time. So I have great compassion on people that are doing that. And after I got saved, cussing stopped. Just because you're in a certain environment doesn't mean you have to cuss. He delivered me from alcohol, pills. He delivered me from lust. He delivered me from all of these things and set me free. And it was so radical that my people were concerned and went to my dad. Want to know what's wrong with me? What's happened to me? I'm not kidding you. My dad came to me and he said, son, why are you acting so different? And now, instead of balling up, getting mad, putting my fist through the wall like I did one time and get angry and upset, I looked at him with this big smile. I said, Dad, I got born again. Jesus is in my life. And my dad goes, that's awesome. Thank you. He said, keep it up, son. And then I got into a church that was teaching me, and I started serving, and I had brand new friends, glory, because all my friends just wouldn't have anything to do with me. And I just, man, the family of God. Oh, by the way, who is the family of God? Listen to Matthew, and I'll close with this. Everybody believes that? Raise their hand. That hurt, Mr. Henry. Thank you. Mr. Henry, thank you. God bless you, sir. I love you, Mr. Henry. Thank you. That's the reason I always preach right at you, because you always smile, and you're always cheering me on. That hurt my feelings, but I will not falter. I'll keep right on moving with the will of God. Listen to what Jesus said, and I will close with this. Listen to this. Matthew 12, verse 47. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, he was in a place where he was teaching people. He said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Which you could say, who are my sisters? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Whoever does. Isn't that amazing? Because No, but I have to be honest and truthful. Or, Father, I repent for what I said. I'm so sorry. I just won't give a scripture. I'll just add to that. That's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing that Jesus said there would be people who say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do signs and wonders and miracles in your name?" And he said, "Depart from me, because you never knew me, because you practice sin." He didn't say you sinned at times. He said you practiced, as if the will of God is nothing. The will of God, ladies and gentlemen, is everything. It is the bottom line. Everything. So every morning when you get up, "Father, I desire for the will of God to be done in my life today. Every day has been written before I ever lived it. This day has already been written, and I'm asking you, Holy Spirit of the living God, I have the mind of Christ." You ever thought about this? It says we have the mind of Christ. Listen to this. Who is the mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, "I only do what He tells me to do." He's the mind of Christ on the inside of you. And He will lead you, guide you, and direct you. If out of your mouth you say, "Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done." Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, and direct me today in the perfect will of God for my life. Then all day long, you're going to have a choice, along with temptations and other things, that as you're walking in the will of God, to come out of the will of God. That's the devil's job. That's people that don't believe like you believe. It's their job. People trying to teach you, trying to make you think that you're an idiot, you're crazy to follow Jesus and do these, especially in this day and time we're living in. And that's when you make a decision by your will, "Not my will, but your will be done." Sometimes you're going to have to pray through it. And you're going to have to defeat your own will and cause it to come into agreement with the will of God. That's the reason Paul said, "I buffet my body." He did not say, "I buffet my body." He said, "I buffet my body." Now listen to this. "Least when I preached, I find myself disqualified." It's a dangerous thing to get into a pulpit or to teach and tell people about Jesus, and behind the scenes you're not living the life that you're telling people about. That's a dangerous place to be in. I want to walk in the will of God. If I miss it, I'm going to be quick to repent, and I'm going to move forward. Can you say amen? Let's all stand if you would, please. Did you get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. I want you to say this with me, because I want this ingrained inside of you before you leave this place. I want you to raise both hands, please. And I want you to say this with me. "Father, I desire your will more than anything else in this earth. Your will is what I live for. Today, I dedicate my whole life to do your will. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, and direct me in the will of God. for my life. Holy Spirit, I ask you, if I in any way am moving out of the will of God, I give you my permission. Convict me. Convict me, Holy Spirit. And say this with me, Father, if I've done anything outside of your will up to this point, forgive me and I repent of it in Jesus' name. Now, Father God, I submit myself to your will. Let your will be done in my life. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.